Well, welcome everybody on this fifth Sunday of Lent, Passion Tide. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you, and also with you. Wake us up, Lord, we pray. Wake us up to the gift of this new day with all its possibilities. Wake us up to your presence among us. Wake us again to your goodness and love. Wake us up to all you want us to be and do. Wake us up to the joys and sorrows of the world around. Wake us up to worship you now. Amen. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. And we turn now to a prayer of confession. Lord, we confess that so often we doubt you and question your timing as Martha and Mary did. When we are distressed, we ask why you do not come to our aid immediately. Forgive us, O Lord, and help us to await your perfect wisdom. We seek to reaffirm our faith, trust, and hope in you. Awaken us, O Lord. Open our eyes to the long view, that we may set our sights on higher things, the kingdom to come, where there shall be no more sorrow or weeping. Amen. Great are our human frailties and failings, yet you forgive them all, O Father. When our faith falters and is weak, you are strong to forgive and generous in your grace. When we fall into doubt and distrust, we can rest assured in the promise of your forgiveness. Amen. And Helen will give us our first.
Comes from Ezekiel chapter 37, starting at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will breathe into you, and you will come to life, and I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says: My people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
And our psalm this morning is Psalm 130, which we can say together. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And Helen has our gospel reading for us.
And this comes from John 11, starting at verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days, and then said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see this by the world's light. It is when a mad person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him." His disciples replied, "Lord, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we might die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews had come up to be had been with Mary, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out. They followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Then, when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who came to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
God. Like many of you, no doubt, I'm struggling with all sorts of emotions as the news headlines grow darker and uglier. The devastation of war, the global injustices of the poorest and the most vulnerable, the abuses in every facet of our society, the spread of illness and disease, and particularly at the moment, the meningitis outbreak in the southeast of England. There are so many sorrows. And here we are, friends. Here we are, church. Here we are, Anglicans, as we are about to welcome our new bishop, Archbishop Sarah Mullally. But here we are in crisis, watching the world reel and lurch in ways most of us have never experienced before. And here we are, as today's gospel shows us, Jesus, holding two angry, grief-stricken sisters in his arms and telling them with absolute certainty that he is the resurrection and the life. Here we are, as Jesus boldly declares the triumphant truth of eternal and abundant life, whilst at the same time weeping the death of his dear friend Lazarus. There is much in this story which I find difficult to understand. Why did Jesus wait to go to Lazarus? Why didn't he rush to him? I don't understand why he allowed his friends to suffer any more than they had already. Why did they have to suffer for the sake of God's glory? Why didn't Jesus answer Martha's charge? "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And why did Jesus raise this one person, leaving countless others dead? And I really don't understand why we don't hear anything much about Lazarus after his grave clothes had fallen off. What happened to him? There are so many questions, and there are so many things I just don't get. But within this story, there are two words that I do fully understand. Jesus wept. I understand what it is like to weep, and I thank God that Jesus wept. I am so grateful that Jesus understands the overwhelming, all-consuming grief that so many of us have experienced that breaks him down. That Jesus, God made flesh, stands at the grave of his friend and cries. In focusing on Jesus' tears, I'm not ignoring the enormity of raising Lazarus from the dead. I am a Christian because I believe in resurrection. I believe that God can and will bring back to life all that is dead, buried, forgotten, and festering within us. I believe that God is always in the business of making us more fully and abundantly alive, alive to love, alive to hope, alive to each other. And I believe in more than that. I also believe in literal resurrection. I believe in life after our physical deaths. I believe that the wonderful news of the gospel is that Jesus actually conquered death, all death, every death, death itself. I know this to be true. I know what it is like to have looked death in the face, and I know what it is like to have been given resurrection life, abundant life, life in all its fullness. I believe we were not made for the grave, we were created for life, and that's why the thought of death grates and is so alien to us. It is not what God desires for us. We feel robbed when life is taken away from us. And this story reminds us that death is not the end. We will be raised. Do you believe that? I hope you do. This is what the Christian message is all about. It is why the early Christians faced death so cheerfully. It is the message we celebrate at every Christian funeral, the hope of resurrection and life. But we hold these joyful beliefs in a world full of uncertainty and sorrow. A world where Martha's accusation, "Where were you, Lord?" resonates from her to us for its truth and its agony. Jesus' tears mean something to me. They are important to me, just as important as raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus' brokenness, his willingness to join Mary and Martha's sorrow, tells us of the necessity to allow for lament and grief. Yes, resurrection is around the corner, but the promise of joy doesn't cancel out the essential and necessary work of grief. When Jesus cries, he assures Mary and Martha not only that their beloved brother is worth crying for, but they are worth crying with. Through his tears, Jesus calls all of us who follow him to stand with those who suffer and grieve and join them in lament. It is part of our holy calling. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, it was a wonderful, awesome miracle. But of course, it would not bring back the past. It would not negate the pain of Lazarus' final illness, or the memory of him leaving this life, or the terrible loss his sisters felt when he had died. Whatever joys awaited Lazarus's family in the future, everything would be shaped by the sorrows and the fears and the losses they had just experienced. Lazarus's future would be nothing like his past. I found myself wondering whether he would always be known in his village as the one who'd been raised from the dead, and I wondered what that was like. Did it make him a hero, or did it make him an outsider and an oddity? Either way, life would be new and strange and scary. And maybe Jesus' tears honour this. Maybe Jesus grieves partly because he knows things will never be the same again. Lazarus would have been buried the day after his death, and after the public processions of grief and burial, the family would have sat in the house mourning, accompanied by family and friends. John tells us that many came to console them. As soon as Martha hears that Jesus is on his way, she stops sitting and goes out to meet him. Her words are typical of someone who is grieving. "If only, if only, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." Yet amid her anger and grief, Martha seems to find a whisper of hope and faith. "Even now," she says, "even now God will give you whatever you ask." In reply, Jesus tells Martha that her brother will rise again, and she assumes that Jesus is referring to the last day, a day sometime in the future when resurrection would happen. Well, where's the comfort in that? In a way, it's a bit of a platitude. Any religious Jew would have said the same. I expect she was screaming inside. But what about now, Jesus? What about today? Jesus' response confirms and challenges everything that Martha has said. I am the resurrection and the life, he says. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Suddenly, Martha's conventional belief in a future resurrection on the last day is turned upside down. Resurrection will happen in the future, but life, abundant life, is with her now. In fact, the resurrection and the life personified is looking at her in all her pain and anguish. And she sees the resurrection and the life, and that enables her to say, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. What an expression of faith. And then it's Mary's turn. She goes to meet Jesus and falls at his feet. If only, she says again this, and this time Jesus does not say anything to her. What he sees is her grief, and he is deeply, deeply troubled. In fact, John tells us a deep anger wells up inside him. Let's face it, sometimes it is best to remain silent, just to be there, to weep with those who weep. And Jesus then asks to see Lazarus's tomb. He is overflowing with emotion. The Greek tells us that he is shuddering, shaking, snorting in the nostrils, full of anger and pain. Our God is not a remote God sitting on a fluffy cloud. Our God is seen in Jesus experiencing the depths of humanity, including grief, loss, and love. When Jesus asks to see Lazarus's body, Martha protests. The smell will be terrible. She has no idea. When she said, whatever Jesus asks, God will happen, that prayer, that statement is about to be answered. The future resurrection in which she believes is breaking into the present. And Jesus shouts in a loud voice, loud enough to wake the dead. In the Greek, he speaks three words, Lazarus, here, out. In an almost comic scene that follows, the former corpse shuffles out, still wrapped in his funeral covers. Lazarus shuffles out from death to life, from death to new life. On Jesus' instructions, the astonished onlookers are told to unwrap him and let him go. In John's Gospel, the raising of Lazarus is the triggering event that leads to Jesus' own arrest and crucifixion. When word spreads about the miracle in Bethany, the authorities decide that enough is enough. Jesus must be stopped. I imagine that some of Jesus' tears are an expression of grief over his own forthcoming death. He knows that the end is imminent. He knows that his time with his friends is almost over. He knows that it's nearly time to say goodbye to the lakes, the skies, and the hills he loves. In crying, Jesus asserts powerfully that it's okay to yearn for life. It's okay to cling to this beautiful world. It's okay to feel a sense of wrongness and injustice in the face of death. Death is the enemy, the thief. It's okay to love and cherish the gift of life here and now. This is a very significant story for me this year. I think my children, my family, and maybe you, my friends, have known the traumatic waiting twixt life and death. My eldest son said to me the other day, as we were talking yet again about the past year, you see, Ma, we waved you off your operation, and we thought That would be the last time we would see you to speak to or to laugh to. We thought we would never see you fully alive again. That's what we had been told. And we waited for over 10 hours to hear any news of you at all. And you came back. You came back from your operation. And you were smiling and laughing and positively chirpy. And it was so confusing because we were completely broken, exhausted, and wrung out, and we didn't know how to process it. From life to death to life again. I understand that the gift of life, resurrection life, begins now. It's not just for something that will happen one day in the future, it starts in the present. It's a work of the spirit. It is the journey from Good Friday to Easter Sunday. We need to experience the grief and horror of Good Friday, the desolation of Holy Saturday, to understand the fullness of joy that Easter morning brings. We will all make this journey, but our journey is not to the grave, but through it. The grave is not our final resting place. We pass through the grave to resurrection joy and resurrection life. During these last weeks of Lent, as we prepare to remember Jesus' death and resurrection, I hope that Jesus' tears can keep us tender, open, and brave. I hope his honest expression of sorrow will give us permission not only to do the work of grief and healing, but to move with powerful compassion into a world that so sorely needs to see the love and light of Jesus Christ. And yes, we are in death right now, but we serve a God who calls us to life. Our journey is not to the grave, but through it. Our God is the God who weeps with us. He is also the Lord who resurrects and gives us life. Amen.
Amen.
Helen, can you lead us in prayer?
Thank you for that, Steph. Now let us pray. Into our times of difficulty and sadness, breathe new life and hope. Lord Jesus, we come to you today, hearing that you are the resurrection and the life, and yet so much of our world seems to be dying. We are surrounded by news of war, and so we pray for Ukraine. For the Middle East, especially Iran, and for many parts of Africa, which don't often make the headlines. Lord, bring your peace. We hear in the news about so many places where there is political unrest. Lord, bring your justice. We know that much of your beautiful world has already been spoilt by our actions. We cry out to you for a polluted world where multinationals argue over the use of fossil fuels. Where our supermarkets continue to use plastics, where floods and droughts cause endless problems and ruin livelihoods. Lord, bring your renewal. Into our difficult times and sadness, breathe new life and hope. Lord Jesus, you brought such joy to Mary and Martha as you raised Lazarus from the dead. But we know that people we know and love have died or are facing pain and illness right now. We remember all those in our community who have died recently, as well as those who are marking the anniversary of losing someone, especially naming recently Val Greenfield, and anybody else that you want to think about yourselves. We pray for all those who are mourning their loss. Lord, come close to them in their sorrow. Bring them the comfort of your love. Help us to know how to support them at this difficult time. And Lord, we pray for all those who are sick, those awaiting a diagnosis or test results, or a date for an operation. Naming locally, you, Steph, Jacques, Mary, Derek, Anne, Brenda, Roy, Margaret T, Elizabeth, Joy, Tony, Herbert, Brian, Alison, Margaret R, Nigel, Audrey, Sharon, John P, John L, and Richard. Also thinking about Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. Lord, we pray that you'll bring healing and wholeness and patience. We thank you for our health services and all who care and support those who are unwell. We pray for the families that will also know to the support of their friends and neighbours. We pray for all those in the United Kingdom affected by the meningitis outbreak. In our times of difficulty and sadness, breathe new life and hope. Lord Jesus, Mary and Martha were so lost in their grief when you first visited them. We pray for all those who are full of sadness, fear, anxiety, or loneliness at this time. We pray for those who feel that no one cares for them. We remember those who face negativity at work and school, particularly those who are bullied. We pray for those for whom is not a safe and happy place. Lord, so much trauma is hidden from us, but known by you. We pray for the relief and small safe spaces where people can truly be heard and helped. In our times of difficulty and sadness, breathe new life and hope. Lord Jesus, when you came to Mary and Martha, they asked you questions and came with accusations. Why weren't you here? If you had been here, all would have been well. Sometimes we have so many questions about why bad and sad things are happening that we don't know where to begin. But in the silence now, we have the time to bring our deepest and most heartfelt questions to you, knowing that you will hear us. Lord, we're aware that you didn't answer their questions, but instead you wept. You wept because you saw and understood their pain. You wept because death was not what your father had originally planned. You wept because you care deeply for all our hurts and sorrows. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you care. Even when you may feel miles away and distant, you are still caring, still weeping, still loving. Thank you, Lord. Into our times of difficulty and sadness, breathe new life and hope. Lord Jesus, at the time of Lazarus, you did the unexpected. You brought him back to life. Thank you for your promise that you are the resurrection and the life. Help us to hold on tightly to this promise, especially when things are hard. Enable us to look around and see the signs of new life that you bring in nature as the flowers begin to bloom and the birds sing, and in our families and fellowship. Lord, we rejoice at birth, successes in school, no matter how small, new jobs, healing, birthdays, weddings, and engagements. Lord, forgive us that we are so often focused on the difficulties of life that we forget to thank you for the joys. Help us this week to look for where you are at work in our lives, to close each day with gratitude for the good things that you have done. Nothing is too small for us to be grateful for. Into our times of difficulty and sadness, breathe new life and hope. Ultimately, Lord, we thank you for your greatest gift of all, your resurrection. Lord, we know you bring us new life. We are assured by your word that death is not the end, and we have eternal life with you to look forward to. Send us out this week from here, ready to take the good news into every place we go this week. And help us to live our earthly lives in the joy of what is to come. Into our times of difficulty and sadness, breathe new life and hope. Amen.
Amen. And the collect for the day, the fifth Sunday of Lent. Gracious Father, you gave up your Son out of love for the world. Lead us to ponder the mysteries of his passion, that we may know eternal peace through the shedding of our Saviour's blood, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord, we thank you that you are the resurrection and the life. We thank you for the gift of new life that you give us. Please help us as we go and live our lives well, bringing joy and hope to those in need this week. Amen. Thank you, Helen. You had some monster readings there.
Didn't I? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Helen.
I thought that, and all that prophesying was a bit much, I can tell you.
You did it so well.
You did, Dan.
Oh,
You
and
did. I didn't think
thank
so.
you for your company, everyone. I'm sorry I've gone on a bit again
No,
this week, but there we
no,
are.
it
Very
was a
moving.
lovely sermon. It
Very
was
moving.
brilliant. That was a brilliant
Thank
sermon.
you.
And just to say, Wednesday is, I think I'm right in saying, is Sarah Mullally's
Oh, gosh.
enthronement as Archbishop. And I know we've used Wednesdays as a day of prayer for us. Can we pray for her on Wednesday as she takes on this extraordinary role? That we pray for wisdom for her and her family. And just a reminder, I said last week I will be doing a evening prayer in the week in Holy Week on Zoom, but it didn't get put in the notices. But I'll make sure it's in there for next week.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, lots
Thanks.
of love, my
Bye.
friend. Have a good day.
Have a good week,
Bye-bye.
everybody.
Thank
Bye, everyone.
you.
Thank you,
Thank you.
everybody.
Thank you all.
Bye.
You all have a nice
Bye.
day. Bye.
Bye. Bye.